Let's pray. Dear Lord,
may the life and the word of Jesus
Christ speak to us today and reign authority in our life. In Jesus Christ's most precious name, amen. Okay, today's our passage is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 31 to 44. If you want to refer in your phone or Bible, you can prepare yourself now. Yeah. Okay. So, I think last sermon, I think Wekang Musa has quizzed all of you, right? You know, what's our theme, the church theme for this 2 years? And I think most people would then remember that it is Chuan Sen. Is sharing God. And then it's our intention that, you know, with what God has blessed us with, the facilities here, and also the kind of teaching that we are able to enjoy here, that we bring the gospel out, we share with people, you know, the blessing of Christ. But being Jubilee, right, we are not very comfortable in, you know, how we bring the message across. And I analyze why, right? Why? I think we all of you, before, do you actually think about in your workplace, in your school, to bridge your conversation or to bring the subject of Christ across to your friends, your family members? But first of all, for you to do so, right, you must be convinced why. Why bother? I come to church, I don't kill, I don't steal. I'm comfortable with myself, then why bother? I think all of us, inside our heart, we have to come to a personal narrative of why we should be doing that. It's a narrative of one to bring blessing to others, because once we know that, you know, somebody know Christ, that's the best blessing we can bring to others. That's one narrative. The other one narrative is that Christ command us to do so. You know, if we don't share, we are not following Christ's command. And the third one is could be, maybe you should ask your friend how to live a purposeful, meaningful life. And that's the theme of Xingfu Xiaozhu, right? You know, why? Because by knowing Christ, that's where we have life abundance. That's where our life flourishes. So that's why. So number one, to share God, we must be convinced of the why. The next thing is then the what. Then what to share. And this is where we need to be confident of ourselves. Where is the content of the gospel coming from? Right? Obviously, in the long ago, I think God spoke to his people through his prophets. And through how he led the people and journeyed with his people in the wilderness to the promised land, and thereafter, we got to know who God really is. In the later day, he speaks to us personally through the life and the word of Jesus Christ. And therefore, the word is embodied in the word and life of teaching of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're looking for today. And how, which is not what we're going to address today, is then the strategy, the technique of then how to share. These 2 years, I think the church is promoting Xingfu Xiaozhu as a platform, as a means to bring the word out, you know. If we know why we shouldn't do share, if we know the content of what we're sharing, then the vehicle to bring blessing to others is to the means of Xingfu Xiaozhu, that being one of the vehicle, right? Okay, so let's talk about the life of Jesus Christ, which is then what of the gospel, right? In a previous sermon by Xiaohui Musi as well as Bukang Musi, I think we have gathered the information, a bit of information of this person of Jesus Christ, right? First of all, he was, you know, prophesied in the Old Testament, and he is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Old Testament, right? And he was prepared by John the Baptist. You know, when John the Baptist was baptizing people in the Jordan River, and people started worshiping him, he would say, no, that's not me. It's the one who come after, you know, the straps of whose handles I'm not worthy to untie. So he is actually prepared by John the Baptist. And then remember when Jesus willing himself to be baptized by John, and heaven opened up and say, this is my beloved son of whom I'm well pleased. And this is again an endorsement from heaven, from God. Okay, so he's prepared by John the Baptist. is endorsed by God. And then during the last week, we heard about a sermon about the temptation of Israel, right? The Christ being put to temptation, right? And obviously he overcome the temptation, and the demon experienced terrible failure. Why? The conclusion is that Jesus is comfortable in his own skin. I don't have to prove to you that I'm powerful. I don't have to prove to you I'm almighty. I don't have to prove to you. All this is not important to you. So Jesus is comfortable in his own skin. And that's where we know more and more about Jesus, right? And today, I think we're going to learn even more about this person of Jesus, how Jesus has the authority and power to fix what's broken in this world. Power and authority. So I've themed today's sermon as He Came with Authority. When we heard this word authority, right, or power, which not always the same, but you know it comes together. Who comes to your mind? Someone with authority. Well, it is our late ex Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew. I think it came quite intuitive to me. I heard his speeches. I heard his insights about the global trends and the politics around the world. I know the way he presents himself. I know the purpose he has always. The life work is Singapore, right? So, and 2 years ago, my wife, Kat, and I went to Sri Lanka. We had 10 days of vacation there. And every time when people know that we are from Singapore, the first thing they say, Lee Kuan Yew. I mean, so Lee Kuan Yew obviously has put us in the world map through his power, authority, and obviously wisdom in his words also. And we know that his power and authority brought us a long way. There were many international situations where threatened to compromise, you know, the authority of Singapore, but he stand firm. All right, you know, I remember, you know, he said, you know, to Malaysia, you know, if you cut off the water, we'll be in KL in 3 days. You know, I mean, that's the type of confidence that we have. And if we have a leader like this, right? Then I think we are comforted that there are a capable leader that we can follow. And when people spoke about Singapore, we are proud because he has led us in a big way to where we are today. And so authority and power is important. And authority and power is also a thing that we can, if done well, is something that we can trust to lead us forward. Well, but also, with authority, can we trust the person? Well, we know Donald Trump, we see the end of Donald Trump, right? So Biden took over. Yeah, he's the most powerful man on earth. But I doubt many people trust him. I mean, some do, some don't. He still has his own followers. But I think power, absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? So if someone has all the power, but we are not able to trust that person, then the power can be very damaging, all right? So that's where we need to know about this person of Jesus today, who he is. Does he have the power and authority that we can put our trust in him and call him Lord? But if he has the power and authority, can we still trust? Can we trust him to put our life forward? Okay. So, people have been talking about this Biden, right? That he's taking over this presidency. You know, he's not going to have a honeymoon period. He has a country that is very divided. He has coronavirus in his country that's running out of control. He has the international trust he needs to rebuild very quickly. Then, whether he'll be successful, well, time will tell. But what is for sure is that he needs to establish himself. He needs to gain credibility. And that's what Jesus needs to do, right? I mean, we have heard a lot about Jesus, but remember, he was growing up at this stage, he was 30 years old, and some people know about him, maybe his family members. But if he's to make a difference to this world, then he has to really establish his credibility. And today, let's have a renewal learning about who this person is, and maybe we start to piece the puzzle together and ask ourselves, after all we know, are we ready to trust him? Right, so it's very clear in John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning, there was the Word, right? You know, from the Genesis, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? And the verse 4, the Word became flesh, okay, and made his dwelling among us. So now the Word came to us. Okay, and we have seen his glory, you know, that's John, and the glory of the one and only Son who came to the Father full of grace, full of truth. So, the act of Jesus and the word of Jesus and the life of Jesus is the Word. And if we were to share 传神, right, then we need to know the Word well, which is the life and act of Jesus Christ. So let him speak to us. Let the story unfold as we go through the gospel and how this person established himself in the eye of all of us. Okay, let's start. I'm going to just plow through the sermon together with everyone. So, Luke, verse 31, okay. Then he came down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee on Sabbath day, and he taught the people. Okay, so the context is that, you know, Jesus' ministry in Galilee, he has, at the end of the day, you will look at Bishop, he has made Capernaum a headquarter of his ministry. Okay, if you look at Jia Bai Nong, Capernaum, okay, it is actually situated at the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. Actually, it's not a sea, it's actually a lake, but it's big enough to call it a sea, okay? So it is now, and the location of it, it is very strategic because, you know, that is where, it is one of the bigger town there, bigger villages, so it actually from the place where a lot of trade exchange, you know, takes place. You know, people crossing the lake, people going from the east to the west needs to go by that side, and that's where a lot of tax collection is also and toll also been taking place, right? So the tax IRS, right, collect the revenue from the traders as they move across the east as west, as well as across the lakes. And it's important enough that actually Roman put a detachment of Roman troops there to protect the place, okay? And that's where Jesus actually is when he shared the gospel with the synagogue. And it was on Sabbath. Okay, and after he shared, I mean, obviously this is not the first time he's there because, you know, you cannot suka-suka go in and, hey, I want to share, and then share the gospel. He's been there for a while, but the important is that it's the impact of his message, huh? Okay. They were amazed at his teaching because his word had authority. Okay, some version translated as, they were astonished. Wow. Okay. The way he teaches the Bible is way different from the average teacher, whom, based on my research, you know, tend to quote this, quote that, you know, like the last rabbi said that, rabbi said, but Jesus spoke with authority, you know, and he spoke with authority. Why can he do that? Because he is who he is, right? I mean, he is direct. He preaches, said, okay, look, you know, guys, you know, we're not going to waste our time anymore on anyone's opinion. I'm going to give you the opinion of God. I'm going to tell you what God thinks. I'm going to explain his word to you and show you how to apply them into your life. And the word of authority, the word of God is what authority is, not the word of man. And Jesus, being the Son of God, spoke with authority. And I'm just imagining what his presentation looked like, right? We have gone through our share of people's presenting to us. I think some people will find some people very boring, and or they're not interesting. Why? I analyze one of the few factors why some people can be very inspirational, some people can be so detached and boring. They have analyzed inspirational speakers and why people can connect with them. And number one is that because they know who their audience is. So they can talk to the audience. They are not high and mighty, 3,000 feet above the ground. The message is down to earth enough people can understand. Number two, it is relevant to where they are. Okay, I know a lot of times people complain, maybe our sermon is too theoretical or too conceptual. We need to know how to apply. And that's when you apply, then you say, wow, that makes sense to me, right? So I'm positing that Jesus' message is like that. It's not only the word of God, but why is that important and how do we live in our life? And this is something that the average rabbi there cannot do. And therefore, people were very astonished. And therefore, Jesus was perceived with a lot of authority. But in this particular day, something happened. So in the synagogue, there was a man possessed by the demon and the impure, unclean spirit. He cried out the top of voice, okay, go away. What do you want to do with us, Jesus? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Okay, so I was sitting imagining, you know, as I was speaking here, you know, and then Joseph suddenly take off his face mask and then say, and okay, who are you? You know, whatever. I mean, I'll be quite shocked, right? It's supposed to be orderly and listen to, and then someone came out, and obviously it came out, the demon's voice came out in the audible form, and that's why Luke can record, right? Okay, so herein lies the issue of the demon in the midst of people. Okay, so if Joseph did that to me, I will be dumbfounded, you know, I'll be like stoned, right? You know, I know what to do, because I'm powerless, right? And I think this one kind of, you know, venture into the spiritual realm, right? You know, most of the time in church, we don't experience this 灵界的东西, right? You know, all these spiritual things, right? This unclean spirit, these ghosts, this evil spirit. Some people term it demon. I'm not an expert of demon, but I am a believer that, you know, this evil spirit exists. And it's interesting when I look through this, you know, I ask myself, what actually happened then? So I think people are fascinated by this spiritual realm. Okay, I have an uncle and family in Penang, my mother's side, you know, he and one of his daughter claim that they have this thing called yin yang yan. You know, heard of this one? That means can see spiritual things. I'm not quite convinced, but at one time we were having dinner at Dempsey Road. I shall not name the restaurant, right? As we were halfway, they were like distracted. I was talking halfway, hey, how come they're looking up there? And they're talking up there. I said, hey, Uncle Sunny, what's happening? Do you see something? No. What's happening? No, it's over there. it's the spiritual things. No, I can see. And obviously he said, you know the Dempsey Road is where, you know, the prisoners are and people are tortured to death in, you know, as an army barrack, you know, so it's not very clean. So I don't know whether he knew that and he go and make it up or he's really see it. I don't know. But I think I'm inclined to believe that, you know, there are things like that around in the world, which the Bible clearly tells, right? And some people, you know, these days, like the health club are very popular, is yoga, right? So there's a lot of Christian have a lot of debate about whether can you practice yoga or not. Okay, so you know, there were some Christians that vehemently reject that Christians shouldn't do yoga. You know why? Because some of the posture you do is inviting the spirit to come, evil spirit to come into your body, and then, you know, therefore, you know, So what I'm saying is that there are different beliefs about this evil spirit and the world. I'm not an expert, but I just want to say that it is there. But in this case, I think for Chinese, right, you know, we are more open to that, or maybe Eastern side of the world. The Western society, maybe this is more uncomfortable topic to talk about, but it's something that, you know, that actually happened, right? In fact, if you Chinese New Year is around the corner, it's quite ingrained in the culture. You know, previously when we were younger, I actually experienced years where we actually fang bian pao. I mean, this is called the crackers, but because of its, you know, explosive nature and causes potential harm to people, so, you know, it's being banned. But it has a tradition, is to actually frighten away the demon. This demon, or they call it the demonic creature called nian. So guo nian, right, is to make sure you cross over to the new year without this nian harming you. So the folklore goes this way, right? This nian is the animal which I put out in the middle, right? You know, I don't. This is a methodical animal, evil thing, right? It comes down and destroy the crops, you know, harm people, snatch away children, and then therefore. But over the years, they have learned that this nian, over a random event, this nian actually quite afraid of loud noises, and red color. So during the time when this nian is coming, right, you need to put a lot of crackers, you know, bian pao, and then do the nian hua, and then, you know, you have dui lian. All these are actually part of this qi gui, that means this exorcism tradition of scaring away this nian. So you can see that, you know, this evil thing is, this spirit thing is quite ingrained in our culture, and I have no doubt that it exists, right? So back to this thing, and when it manifests itself in the Bible, in this particular verse, what's the reaction of demon when they heard the word of Jesus? Was it a welcome, wow, finally you are here, I'm waiting for you for so long? Or was it a spirit of respect? So the word says, you know, go away, what do you want to do with us? You know, are you here to destroy us? I think it is a feeling of panic, of wow. They know that the time has come and they are going down. And they know they are going to be destroyed. That's what the demons say, right? You know, I know who you are. I mean, they know who Jesus are better than we know who he is. He's openly declared it. But I think it's a response of panic. I think that's where we can see that, you know, that God, Jesus has authority over the demons. And the subsequent act of Jesus, you know, people usually term it as exorcism, right? You know, Exorcist, you know, the movie, a process of casting out demon or a spirit. Traditionally, if you are interested in the topic, you know, there is all different culture has different process of exorcising these demons, right? You know, they use some kind of medium, maybe a cross or maybe a garlic or maybe some noise or things like that. You know, and then they need to call on the name of something to get rid of evil. And oftentimes, you know, I was heard that it is a very long tussle, long struggle, and people get very tired. You know, so in the process. So this is something that that happens, right? Nearer to home, you know, to the qigui, right, the tangi and everything, you know, it's real, right? You know, some people are being possessed, you know, and they can do interesting things, you know, with it, you know, and these are the things, right? So Jesus, what is Jesus' way? Jesus just say, be quiet, basically, shut up, okay? Like, come out of him, all right? I mean, it's a very straightforward command, all right? And therefore, the evil has to obey. And so, when Satan meant to harm, Jesus came to save. And effectively, he smothered this demon, forcing it to be silent against his will. And every demon submit themselves to Jesus Christ because they can't do anything about it. Yeah. And then he tried the last bit to express his rebellion by trying to slam this person to the floor, but Jesus Christ ensured this person was not harmed in a way. All right? So Jesus Christ's authority, in fact, protected this man. And he was in complete control. And when the crowd saw this, right, they were again even more amazed by his authority and power over the demon. Now, if we extrapolate a bit further, if Jesus Christ is in your life, you don't have to worry about demons or evil spirit taking over you. Okay, sure, you can come and they can come and listen and tempt you in your life. It's interesting. Pastor Xiaowei last week, steered around this topic and say that, instead of talking about demons, why don't you ask yourself, what are the voice talking to you in the day-to-day to commit things? So, I mean, maybe it's from the demon, maybe it's not, I cannot say. But I think what we want to know that if, in fact, there's an evil spirit, if you're a Christian, then you have the peace of God with you, you don't have to worry about this. Because he has already authority to that, and you have no fear from the spirit. Then, after this event, Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. And Simon's mother-in-law was suffered from the high fever, and Jesus to help her. Okay, as I was doing research, they say Simon Peter, actually Simon Peter mother's-in-law, that means Simon Peter is married, right? And how come Catholic, the priest cannot get married? Because even their top person, Peter also got married. But this is a side story. So it's been a long day. Jesus is probably very tired, and Peter invite him over to his house for dinner and to rest. And then when they were there, Peter discovered the mother-in-law is very sick and has a high fever. Luke is a doctor, so high fever means really high fever. So it was humble request, and in the line of, Jesus, we know you have a very long day, but mother is very sick, and we love her awfully, Lord. We know what you can do, and if you can you please heal her? And then again, Jesus expressed his authority through the healing of the mother-in-law. And so he bent over her and rebuked at the fever, and it left her. He got up at once and began to wait on them. So not only did she get better, she actually woke up and started serving them. All right? Okay, so again, this rebuke, right? How come Jesus is rebuking the fever? Is evil a spirit also? So again, I'm not 100% certain, but you will see that Jesus also rebuked the waves and the wind when he was there. So maybe it's just a way of Jesus expressing authority over this thing, not necessarily that the evil is fever is part of the evil spirit. Yeah. Okay. So this is again Jesus as authority over the disease. So because of this, right, you can see that, okay, wow, if my friend is healed, hey, why don't you go and see Jesus also? People start to brought, at sunset. Why sunset? Because sunset is the end of Sabbath. In Sabbath, you cannot work. You cannot go and heal. You must really rest, right? So at sunset, it's the end. So everybody start crowding in and brought Jesus, all who have various kind of sickness, and lay hands on one and heal them all, okay? And people who came to Jesus reminds us that we live in a very broken world, and whom we all need healing. Every sickness, every demonic possessions, every death we experience, it's a consequences of sin in this world, right? And Jesus brought his power and authority to us in order to undo the damage and sin has done to this creation. So every sickness and heal, right? Every demon has cast out, every person he has raised from the dead, was a reversal from the curse of sin. I mean, Jesus has the authority to do that. And every healing was a sign that pointed towards the ultimate healing Jesus worked for us. So again, it is highlighting the authority over sickness and death. So, and then continuously, and moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But again, he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. Then, the question is that, wow, if the demon came out and said, "You are the Son of God," if I'm Jesus Christ, I'll be like, thank you. I mean, thank you for acknowledging me, right? I think, then why did Jesus rebuke them? Because here is an open declaration of some people recognizing who he is. The reason is that he didn't want to receive the testimony from demon. He don't want the endorsement to come from demon. He doesn't want people to think that he's in league with this demon by letting them proclaim who he was. He didn't come to earth for the demons. He came to earth to save his loved one, which is us, the people, and it is an endorsement of us that he wants, not the demon. So at daybreak, he continued his ministry. He went out to a solitary place. The people looking for him, when he came to where they were, they tried to keep him from leaving him. Obviously, he's doing a lot, adding a lot of values, helping the community a lot by healing, casting out demons, and people want to keep him. And Jesus said, okay, I must proclaim the good news to the kingdom to the other towns also, not just you all. I must also go to spread this to other towns because that was what I was sent. Okay, again, we need to proclaim our the gospel to other people. That's why we are here. And so this kind of sums up the day and the life of Jesus. So we come back to the theme, right? He came with authority, and we have learned that Jesus has authority with his word. He has authority over demons. He has authority over diseases. And in a few weeks' time, as you go on this chapter, he has authority over everything in the creation also. Okay, culminating in Mark, in Matthew chapter 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So this is just part of the picture, but it will culminate to this eventuality that he would proclaim himself that all the authority will be given to me. So if you want to share Christ, right, then we need to learn more about Jesus. If you want to really to understand who he is, because after all, he's the core of our faith, right? And we can't run away from that. Our belief and is built around this person of Jesus Christ. And so beside the Luke, how about the other gospel book, John, Matthew, and things like that, we should learn more about Jesus and see that, let him unfold his personality and his life to all of us. Because when we see this, right, then we have a choice to make. Okay, so, wow, if he has authority over, with his words, over demons, over the sickness, right? Then, what is your choice? Do you choose then to put the faith in him? I think at the end of the day, that gives us a choice. And I think one thing that I really enjoyed the 幸福教主 process is that, every week, right, there is a very logical progression every week. First week was, about happiness. What is true happiness? Second week is about the real truth. Then the fourth week is God came calling. So it just built, the scene just continued to unfold. At the end of it, at a certain day, right, you will ask, okay, so all the best, right, our new people, new friends that came, right, we will ask them, so after you know all this, right, then what's your response? He came, 上帝来敲门, he came on there. So if he does all these things, now today he has, that he has all the authority, then, interesting. then if you know the bride of Christ, then you have to make a choice, right? If someone has that authority, and if someone can be trusted, and if he's a solution for all the brokenness, then are there any reason that we should reject him or not minimally consider him as our Lord and Savior? So I think that should be one of our response, right? If we know Jesus. But if you don't want to know Jesus, then nothing to say. But if you know him, then you ask ourselves, no, wow, are we amazed by him? Can we then put our whole trust? Which is the third point, right? You should think about whether Jesus' words has authority in our life. Yes, he has authority over all these things, but at the end of the day, what's matter to you is that does he has authority over your life and my life? What would it look like for Jesus to be the Lord of your family, of your career, of your marriages, of our time and our possession? I mean, just think of it. What if we let God has authority over all these things? And we are asking God to speak over all these different areas of our lives. The conclusion is that if Jesus has the power and authority over what is uncontrollable, like demons and disease and all, can he not also have power over what you feel that's uncontrollable in our lives? Energy goes this way, right? So, hopefully today is one more step to help you to be convinced that when we, as Jesus built his credibility and you know him as who he is, you begin to start trusting him. And when we start trusting him and call him the Lord of our life, then we will start to experience the power of God in our life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I ask, pray that as we continue to explore the life of Jesus, that his life, his words continue to astonish and amaze us, and that compel us to proclaim him as our Lord, and also compel us to share the blessing with people around us. May you continue to work wonders in our life through the life of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.